declining enrollment, financial instability. These things are hitting Catholic schools across the nation, and we learned last week that St. Gregory Catholic School in St. Nazian's will not reopen next year. The graduating eighth graders in June will conclude 134 years of Catholic education in that parish. Sometimes these schools have educated multiple generations of the same family, and we're exploring the disappearing Catholic schools that leave parents and communities with fewer options. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's bring in Carol Ann McGregor. She is an associate professor of sociology at Loyola University New Orleans. In 2012, she focused her dissertation topic on the decline of Catholic schools in America. Carol Ann, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, give us a snapshot, if you will, of the numbers of Catholic schools over the past half century.
Sure. So Catholic education in America really reached its peak in the mid-1960s. At that point in time, there were over 13,000 Catholic schools in the United States. They educated over 5 million students. That amounted to about 12 or 13% of the entire school-aged population at that time.
In America.
In America. And since that time, it's kind of been a decline. So in 2012, when I wrote my dissertation, there were about 7,000 Catholic schools that had fallen from that peak of 13,000 over the course of 50 years. And there were about 2.5 million students in Catholic schools then. And it's not been as dramatic as, you know, the fall from 1960 to 2010, but in the years since I finished my dissertation work, we've continued to see some declines both in the number of schools and the number of students enrolled. So now Catholic schools enroll about 5% of the school-aged population.
So 5% of the school age population in Catholic schools today. Can you trace the decline for us? What are some of the things that are causing this?
It's very complicated, but the number one thing I would say is that the cost of operating the school has changed significantly over time. So when schools like St. Gregory opened 134 years ago, they would have been staffed primarily by religious sisters or religious priests and brothers. And those folks worked for free or for very little money. And the schools were no frills. They didn't have high expenses like health insurance and smart boards and iPads and all of the things that we come to expect from a really good school in the United States. And those costs have been shifted to parents. And so it now costs a lot more for a parent to send their child to a Catholic school than it did in a previous generation or several generations ago. So the average tuition at a Catholic elementary school hovers around $4,000, and the average tuition at a Catholic high school hovers around $9,000. And Catholic education leaders would likely be quick to point out that those tuition costs actually don't usually even match the cost of educating students. These schools are often operating at a loss for many years, those losses being filled up by philanthropic giving or through subsidies from parishes or dioceses or religious orders.
So they're being absorbed, that red ink is being absorbed either by the parish or, you mentioned, the archdiocese, other grant institutions. What about this idea that there is less discrimination for being Catholic? What's at stake there?
So when Catholic schools were initially founded in the United States, it was a time where there was a lot of anti-Catholic discrimination. And so in many places, these schools were created as a safe space or an alternative space for students who might have been persecuted in some ways in the regular public schools. And as Catholics joined America's middle class and assimilated and moved to the suburbs and truly became, you know, sort of part of the American mainstream, most people don't perceive there to be a great amount of Catholic bias in the United States anymore, or not enough that an entirely different school system would be needed for that reason. There may be lots of other reasons to have a good, vibrant Catholic education system, but preventing anti-Catholic bias is no longer at the top of the list.
We're talking with Carol Ann McGregor. She's an associate professor of sociology at Loyola University, New Orleans, talking about the decline of Catholic schools in America as we see Catholic schools closing across the country. Most recently, St. Gregory Catholic School in St. Nazian's said they will not reopen next year. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you attend a Catholic elementary school or high school or college? What was your experience like? Did you decide to send your own children to Catholic school? And what has their experience been like? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Carol Ann, what has been the impact of the rise of charter schools in America to Catholic schools?
That's a great question, and one I get asked quite a bit. I would say that it hasn't helped shore up some of these struggling Catholic schools, but it's not the root cause of the problem. So charter schools really started to emerge on the scene in the United States in the 2000s. So they're a really recent development. And obviously when a charter school opens up around the corner from a Catholic school or in the same neighborhood, or, you know, it becomes an option for parents, it doesn't necessarily help. But the problems with Catholic education in terms of the rising costs and some cultural changes in Catholicism kind of predate charters. So we can't sort of blame charters for all of the problems in Catholic education.
Are we seeing the same trajectory play out with other denominations, with other parochial schools?
That's a great question. It's a little bit harder to track because some of the other types of religious schools are much smaller in number, and they kind of in government statistics and things get collapsed as just like other. Mm-hmm. But the most comparable group is Lutherans. So Lutherans have had a system of private schools for about as long as Catholics have, and they too are experiencing some declines, but on a smaller scale, just because there aren't as many of those schools.
We've heard about decreasing the number of people who are attending church on Sunday or fewer people in the pews. Do you think increased secularism in the U.S. has any role in this?
Yes. Maybe you all were talking about this Gallup study that came out this week that I saw yesterday and about the declining number of Catholics in the pews, which is something that sociologists of religion and sociologists of Catholicism have been tracking for a while. One thing that I think is a real kind of question that underlies this issue is, do Catholics think that they have to send their kids to Catholic school to be good Catholics? And while I don't have, you know, exact data on that from going out and asking parents around the country that exact question, my sense is that for many parents, the answer is no. You know, like, first priority would be to get to church on Sunday. Second priority would be to register their children in you know, the classes for sacramental preparation, but that they don't necessarily believe that they have to send their kid to a Catholic elementary school to be a good practicing Catholic.
Oh, and they can instill those values at home, and then they feel like that can go far enough, and they can also do the rites of that they go through in Catholicism, and that they can still say send their kid to a public school.
Yeah, I think, and obviously the cost comes back in here too, because there are many parents who would love to send their children to a Catholic school, but just can't make that work financially. But in addition to the cost change, there's been cultural change and secularization. On the secularization issue, one thing that's very interesting is that there are actually more Catholics in America than ever before because of immigration. It just so happens that most of the growth in the Catholic population comes from immigrants from Mexico and Latin America.
And we're going to pause right there and get to that topic of immigration with Carol Ann McGregor. She's an associate professor of sociology at Loyola University, New Orleans. Studies the declining enrollment of Catholic schools. You can join in 800-642-1234. News is next. St. Gregory Catholic School in St. Nazian's is closing, and it joins many Catholic schools that are facing difficult times, declining enrollment, financial issues. St. Gregory's decision came after an enrollment campaign last month that was unable to reach its goal of a minimum number of students enrolled for fall. We're talking about the decline of Catholic schools on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us. Carol Ann McGregor stays with us. She's an associate professor of sociology at Loyola University, New Orleans. She studies the causes and consequences of the closure of Catholic schools in America. Gathering your questions, your insights, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Did you attend a Catholic elementary school, high school, or college? What was your experience like? Do you think that Catholic schools serve a wider purpose in society? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carol Ann, before we went to break there for the news, you were picking up the conversation about immigration and how immigration has impacted Catholic schools. What did you see there?
So a major potential area for growth is enrolling Latino Catholic immigrants in Catholic education. The Alliance for Catholic Education at the University of Notre Dame, I think, is a real thought leader in trying to figure out what's going on with why there are so few Latino Catholics enrolled in Catholic schools, and figuring out mechanisms for getting more Latino Catholics enrolled. Obviously, cost is a factor again there, with the rising costs of Catholic schools. The new immigrant population in particular may not have the resources to pay the full tuition, but are there philanthropists who might be interested in supporting this cause? Are there ways that other new ideas for keeping the cost of Catholic education low might make this more possible for this latest generation of Catholic immigrants?
But having Catholic schools arguably served minority communities, particularly in inner city neighborhoods.
Yeah, so that's something that is sort of unique to the history of Catholic education. So Catholic schools have long served immigrants. So the first Catholic schools were built to educate the children of Irish and Italian and German Catholic immigrants, many of whom moved to America's big cities. As those folks came to join the middle class and move out into the suburbs, their school buildings and church buildings stayed in those big cities. Catholicism is a particularly territorial bound faith, and so those are are still holy spaces, even if the population has left and gone somewhere else. So the approach of the church initially in the late 60s, 70s, 80s was to educate who was left or the people that moved into those neighborhoods. And in America's big cities, that was often African-American students. So there's became kind of a tradition of educating inner city minority students, even if those students were not Catholic. And the sociological literature that looked into this in the 1980s suggested that there were some really positive outcomes that came from inner city students attending Catholic schools.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Stefan joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning. Great topic. I'm wondering, all of the studies that I have seen and read indicate that younger Americans, especially young adults, are identifying their religion as none. I think they recognize that you don't need to be part of a religion to be spiritual, and they are increasingly seeing the whole religious question as a myth.
Stefan, thanks for the call. How do nons parlay into what you're seeing in the numbers on Catholic schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that read of the literature is exactly right. There's a ton of literature out there in sociology of religion that points to the growth of the number of Americans who sort of answer, I'm nothing in particular, to the question, what's your religious denomination? And that's more true of younger people than older generations, although it's just been on the rise generally. And I think that does link to education, because if you don't have a particular religious tradition, if you're open to sort of being spiritual but not religious, or draw your faith inspirations from many different traditions, it might not be such a logical choice for you to pick a denominational school affiliated with a single denomination.
Let's take another call now. Let's go to Margaret waiting in Kakana. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I'm an alum of four different Catholic schools, from grade school through university and graduate school. Matter of fact, I'm an alum of Loyola New Orleans.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but I had such a useful degree as voice performance, so that's... Anyways, but I spent a good deal of my career in youth ministry working with religious education on the high school end for kids who went to public and private and Catholic schools. And I feel that a lot of the decline, and I agree that a lot of it is the cost. When I was in grade school, my tuition was $50. When I was in high school, it was $400, and when I was in college, it was $3,600, and now it's a lot more. So that has a lot to do with it, but also the shrinking of family. I was one of 13 kids, which, although it was large at the time, the average family size is about 5 or 6 kids. Now the average family size is like 2 or 3. And you also don't have the family dynamics of sharing their faith at home anymore.
Margaret, did you see among your siblings a generational shift, or did you find them wanting to educate their own children in Catholic schools?
Well, no, there was a generational shift because I was, towards the end of the 13, and we grew up, a lot of my siblings came of age during the 70s, and that's when the momentous shift occurred in the society a little bit. It was post-Vatican II, and where there was a lot more freedom given to Catholics, and there was a huge exodus, not only of people from schools, but also religious life. So we don't have the religious to take up a lot of those teaching positions anymore that we used to have for much discounted price.
Margaret, thank you for telling your story. Let's get Carol Ann in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely think that declining birth rates are part of the story. And it reminds me that there are sort of also emerging niche or smaller communities of Catholics that are developing sort of a more traditional or conservative approach to Catholicism, returning maybe to some of those pre-Vatican II styles of religious life. And for some of those folks, their critique would be that contemporary Catholic schools are not Catholic enough. So they're setting up kind of private, independent Catholic schools that return to an older style of Catholicism, and some of those families have the larger birth size, larger family sizes, higher birth rates.
So when a Catholic school closes, what happens? What takes its place?
That's a great question. It obviously leaves an empty building, and if the building stays empty for too long, that can be a real drag on the community in terms of it being an eyesore or a potential place for, you know, the kind of activity that you wouldn't want in your neighborhood. Often, though, they don't stay vacant for very long. A number of charter schools actually have taken up space in former Catholic school buildings. You know, imagine that you're starting up this new school and you have very little time to get it off the ground, and you're not going to build a brand new building, and you look around the city for a building that looks like a school, and then you find that there are a few of those around. There are vacant Catholic school buildings.
Well, Mary in La Crosse emailed, she said she sent her son to Catholic school, but now as the sexual abuse scandal in the church has come to light, she said she's concerned about her child's safety in a Catholic school. Carol Ann, has that been a thread line about through this decline that you're seeing?
Yeah, it's hard to get the kind of data on this that would be needed to really rigorously assess this on a national level. But I think at least anecdotally, absolutely, you know, that is a concern that parents have. I think that most who work in Catholic education would point out that there are lots of programs in place now in the contemporary era to prevent something terrible from happening, and that most of the majority of the folks working in Catholic schools are wonderful people with your children's best interest at heart, and that you know, that these crises, the sexual abuse crisis, while something that we need to acknowledge and pay attention to and not cover up, is not the dominant story in Catholic education.
Let's explore mergers that have happened over the decades. I recall in the 1980s, there was a big one in the Twin Cities where in St. Paul, where Creighton and Durham Hall merged. Creighton was the boys' school, Durham Hall the girls' school. That was a really big deal, and the school still survives today as Creighton-Durham Hall. So what have mergers looked like, and have they worked?
That's a great question, and I would say mergers are kind of the first strategy when schools begin to struggle. So they're pretty common in the world of Catholic education. It's an interesting phenomenon because I think that for some people, the merger feels like something is closing, you know, so the name might change, or the mascot might change, or one building is no longer going to be a school. So In some senses, it does keep the dream of Catholic education alive in a community, which is good. But for some of the families and alumni impacted by the merge, it can be as painful as having the school close.
And what happens when the merger happens and an all-boys school or an all-girls school, they merge, they become a larger gender-integrated school. Do we need, what is it when we lose single-gender schools?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. So single-gender education is something that is on the decline in the United States, both in the not just in the Catholic sector, but in the private school sector generally. And obviously, women's colleges are another example of a type of single gender education that is experiencing kind of enrollment challenges. All the sociological literature on single gender education suggests that it can have some really positive outcomes for girls, for example, in STEM education, that all girls schools are places where girls can really excel in math and science in ways that we want to encourage. So that's certainly a concern. And then I suppose another concern, at least based on the kinds of things that sociologists think about, would be increasing school size. So there's a lot of literature in the sociology of education that suggests that there are some benefits to keeping schools kind of small, and Catholic schools have historically been smaller schools, and that's one of the reasons that people suggest that there are lower rates of juvenile delinquency and things in Catholic schools.
Let's bring in another call now. Let's go to Eugene waiting in Viola. Hi, Eugene. Are you there? Oh, Eugene, I think you're there, but you're not there. But Eugene taught in Catholic school decades ago, saying it was a better education than in the public school. And Eugene thinks it's still a stronger approach. What about curriculum? And Eugene also brings up respect in the classroom.
Great observations. This dissertation project was a pretty depressing one. You know, it's never fun to study something that's closing. It was kind of a sad story. So I followed it up with a more positive story. I was given the opportunity through some grant funding to look at moral and civic socialization practices in contemporary Catholic high schools. So basically, what are schools doing to create good people and good American citizens? And this is part of a larger team project where there are folks going out to all the different kinds of schools in America, public schools, private elite schools, Muslim schools, Jewish schools, evangelical schools, even home schools. And that, really rings true with Eugene's observation. You know, there was just a lot of really wonderful work being done in these high schools that I visited in terms of shaping the next generation of American citizens to know sort of their obligation and to think of other people and to sort of really do good things for their communities and the world.
And these schools also have to find their niche because the financial consequences and certainly just trying to compete in the education sector, that's really difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. A ton of schools market themselves based on their academic performance. So a lot of Catholic high schools really pride themselves on having 99 or pretty close to 100% college acceptance rates. So there are some that might say that Catholic schools should be marketing themselves or finding their niche based on their religious identity, but These are really high performing schools in many cases that are trying to sell themselves as that, you know, come to our really strong school and we'll get your child into a good a good college.
Carol Ann McGregor studies a trend of the decline of Catholic schools, associate professor of sociology at Loyola University, New Orleans. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll return after a news update on the Ideas Network. The Archdiocese of Chicago has some recent figures on the closing of Catholic schools. Since 2000, nearly 100 Catholic elementary and high schools have closed in Cook and Lake counties. We're exploring what's going on with this trend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Loyola University New Orleans sociology professor Carol Ann McGregor stays with us. Her research found that in the mid-60s, more than 13,000 Catholic elementary and high schools enrolled 12% of U.S. school children, but by 2012, fewer than 7,000 Catholic schools enrolled about 2 million kids, and that contraction continues today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you attend Catholic school? What was your experience like? Did you decide to send your own children to Catholic school? Are you concerned that so many Catholic schools have shut down over the years? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jeremy now, waiting in Racine. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My mother grew up going to a Catholic private school, and when I was growing up, she never really, anytime she discussed it, it was never really a great experience. The education was pretty good, but the type of, I guess, the capital punishments that would happen in Catholic schools, children getting spanked with rulers and yardsticks all the time, that was a very common practice in those days. And when we were going to school, she would pretty much not want us to go in. My mother and father would go back and forth on it, but she was dead against it. And you can always tell the teachers growing up in school in the old days which teachers kind of went to a Catholic school. They're a little bit more physical with the students. They would grab students in their arms and hitting pressure points, things like that. So I guess one of the sour notes of the Catholic schools is because of the type of capital punishment and some of the physical abuses the children went through whenever they misbehave and things like that. So
Jeremy is bringing up this issue of corporal punishment in Catholic schools. Carolyn, what have we seen there?
So Catholic schools historically have had a reputation for strict discipline, which on the one hand is something that some parents really want and look for. And then on the other, you know, when it borders on child abuse or something more nefarious, is a concern for people. I would say that a lot has changed in educational training and educational styles over the last 25 years or so. So in the 8 Catholic high schools that I visited for my second project on moral and citizenship formation, none of them had corporal punishment anymore. But that is part of Catholic education history in America.
What has the role of nuns historically been in Catholic education, and what impact has the diminishing number of nuns over the past half century had on Catholic education?
Religious sisters are just central to the history of Catholic education in America, particularly at the elementary school level. These women founded many of the Catholic schools that exist in the country. They staffed them by working for free or very little wages for generations. And even today, many of the religious sisters that are left in Catholic schools are operating at the leadership level, either at the, principal, in the principal role, or in the school chaplain role. So a big part of what's happened with Catholic education is the declining number of sisters in the United States. So there are fewer than one sister per Catholic school. So it would not even be possible to place a single nun in every Catholic school in the United States, in spite of the fact that the number of Catholic schools continues to decline. So as I mentioned before, that's a cost thing in terms of how much it costs to run the schools, but it's also a cultural shift. That stereotype or image of the nun in a habit with a with a ruler, you know, inflicting corporal punishment that just wouldn't jive with Catholic schools today, partially because there are so few sisters.
Let's bring in John in Richland Center. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. This is a great subject. And, well, I'm sad to hear that we are losing so many Catholic schools. My father was a science teacher at our Catholic school. He taught science and physical education, and I was a student. And I think what I'd like to say is it's a good school. I think it was the best for me and our family. It was strict discipline, which leads to good schooling. And we had church every day, which gave us long-lasting morals.
John, thanks so much for the call. Carol Ann, often in the curriculum, there is going to church. There is also certainly religion classes, sometimes daily, weekly.
Yes, that remains true today, even though the population of students that are Catholic in Catholic schools has shrunk a little bit. So Catholic education, generally speaking, views their kind of mission to educate whatever students come through their doors. It's not a requirement that students be Catholic to attend. In most of the Catholic schools that I've visited or Catholic educators that I've spoken to have said what they look for is a respect for church teaching and openness to hearing the Catholic perspective, but it's not indoctrination. So students of other faiths are welcome in these schools. On the other side, I think some people would say that the fact that the schools are filled with students who may not be Catholic sort of makes that feeling of everybody going to Mass together or everybody practicing the same religion a little different than what it was in a previous generation.
So, Carol Ann, what are Catholic schools doing to address the declining enrollment and financial issues? And in your opinion, what should they be doing?
That's a great question. So I think there is a lot of experimenting with different models for funding schools and for particularly funding the kinds of schools that have done really good work with poor and minority students. One example of those is the Cristo Rey network of schools. That is one real growth area for Catholic education. A Cristo Rey school or Cristo Rey network school seems to open up at least once a year in the United States. These are schools that have shook up the financial model. So the students go out and work one day a week in a business or a nonprofit, and that business or nonprofit pays the tuition for the student. And so that has really opened the doors to a lot of students who might not have otherwise been able to pay for Catholic education.
So do you mean a student is sponsored by someone in the business community?
Yes, and that sponsorship is not just that the business creates a scholarship for that student, but the student goes and does kind of a cooperative work placement one day a week at that person's place of business. So one of the really neat things about this model is that it doesn't just find a way to get those tuition costs covered. It gives the student some really useful, practical job experience and skills that helps with career exploration and helps develop character and helps the student figure out what might be next for them.
Would this be happening at the high school level or middle school?
Yeah, school level. We don't have, they do have a network of schools for elementary school students, but that is not, that does not involve work placement.
As we look for solutions here, what would a parish do or the archdiocese do to be able to combat this trend?
One thing that has been noted about Catholicism in comparison to other religions is that Catholic leaders, priests in particular, do not like to talk about money. They don't like to ask about money compared to some of our other clergy peers. There's not a culture of tithing. It just is, for whatever reason, a thing that we don't ask for money very well. But certainly these schools would be helped by greater philanthropy. So if there are ways to encourage targeted giving in support of this style of education, that could be of great benefit.
So you seem to be saying that Catholic schools need to find new ways to tell their story?
That could be the case, you know, that the one challenge I would say is that there's not a single Catholic education story, but in communities, there might be a locally specific story about where the Catholic school kind of fits in the option of schools and how the school could really be a really good option for the students in the community.
And finally, as we wrap up here, what do parents say about these closures? Because parents, too, are expected to be heavily involved in these schools. And there is this whole sense of community, and there is a community. So what about that link?
That's a great question, and one that I hope to spend a little bit more time exploring in the future. In the immediate aftermath of a school closure, I think parents don't really have time to process sort of what it means for them or how they feel about it, because their number one priority is to find another place for their child. And so I'm really interested in 2 or 3 or 4, 10 years down the line, how do people reflect on that school closing experience? Was it just a blip and they ended up in a place that was just as good and life went on? Or is it kind of a lingering sadness about what could have been?
Carol Ann, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Carol Ann McGregor is an associate professor of sociology at Loyola University New Orleans. She has a book project on the decline of Catholic schools in America that is a follow-up to her 2012 dissertation on this subject. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Cheryl Gasser is director of the Ideas Network. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation is on the Ideas Network.